We come today to John chapter 8, verse 50. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read verse 48, John chapter 8. Then the Jews answered and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me, and I seek not mine own glory. Stop right there for a second. Jesus had accused them of dishonoring him. But he wants to make it clear that he doesn't mean, or that doesn't mean that he was seeking honor for himself. Yes, they were dishonoring him, but he's not seeking honor for himself. It bothers Christ that they are dishonoring him, because in the process, they are dishonoring the Father. So look at 50 again. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Jesus doesn't seek honor for himself. God the Father seeks honor for God the Son. And God the Father will judge all those who will not give the Son the honor that he deserves. 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Not talking about physical death. Good Christians die every day. This is talking about eternal death. People who receive Christ will not suffer in hell, ever. Not even a little. Verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. And now they think that Christ is crazy for sure. Abraham and all the great Old Testament prophets died, and you, Jesus, say that if anyone obeys your word, they won't die ever? Verse 53, Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Abraham and the prophets were holy men who lived by faith, but they never delivered anyone from death. You claim to be able to deliver people from death. Who do you think you are, Jesus? That's their question to him. In verse 54, Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. The Jews thought that Jesus was talking big, trying to draw attention to himself. Jesus says, I'm not. And it would be a waste of time anyway. When people try to draw attention to themselves, it usually backfires. People see right through it, and they end up looking down on them instead of looking up to them. So, 54, Jesus says, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. The God that these Jews said that they loved and served is the God that is honoring Christ. They know that. Now that they are dead, they've known that for about 2,000 years. They found that out when they were judged. Verse 55. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. They wanted Christ to deny that he was equal with the Father. He wouldn't do it. If he did, then he'd be a liar like them. Verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. They like to talk about their connection to Abraham, you know. So Jesus says, Well, speaking of Abraham, Abraham looked forward to the day that I would come into the world. He longed to see it, and actually, he saw it by faith. Verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? So they are putting words in Jesus' mouth, which so often happens with those who do not listen. Isn't that the case? Jesus did not say that Abraham actually saw him. He meant Abraham by faith saw my day, is what he said. In other words, Abraham longed for and lived for the coming of the Redeemer. Verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. It would have been remarkable if Jesus had said, Before Abraham was, I was. That would have been remarkable. But he did not say that. Because that could mean that there was a time when he came into existence. No, Jesus said, Before Abraham was, I am. In other words, I've always been. And by the way, I am is God's name. Jesus is saying, I am the eternal God. Verse 59. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus claimed to be God, and the Jews knew it, and that is why they tried to stone him to death. No one should say, Jesus is not God, Jesus is just a godly man. And no one should say, Jesus never claimed to be God. That's ridiculous. Jesus is either God or he's a crazy man, a lunatic, a blasphemer, who thought he was God, could he sure claim to be God. Chapter 9, verse 1, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. By telling us that this man was blind from birth, God was emphasizing the hopelessness of his situation. The bad news is, this man has never seen a single thing in his entire life. The good news is, Jesus is about to change that. Verse 2, And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They didn't know who did it, but they were sure that someone in the family sinned, and God was getting them back by causing this man to be born blind. Verse 3. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. All suffering, all death, including this man's blindness, has come into the world as a result of sin in the world. However, it is not true that all sickness and suffering are a result of the sufferer's personal sin. Bad things happen in a sin-infested world. That's just a fact. And so, verse 3 again, let's read it. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God allowed this man to be born blind so that God could display his power by healing him. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus had 3 short years of public ministry, and he was determined to use every second of it wisely. Life goes by so fast, and when it is over, our opportunity to serve God here on earth is gone as well. It is important to squeeze all the living for Christ out of every second that we have. 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The Lord's presence in the world was a light. His miracles, his teaching, his holiness showed a spiritually dark world the right way to be. And now Christ in us wants to do the same thing for the world of our day by living out his holiness through each one of us. 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay with the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. I've had several questions submitted for my question and answer programs. And if another question is submitted, if you're trying to think of a question, please do not ask why Jesus made mud out of saliva, because I have no idea. And you know what? No one else knows either. God did not tell us why. I do know that He did not have to make mud out of His saliva to heal him. I do know that. Why He did it? Ask Him when you get to heaven, and then let me know. Verse 7. And He said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which interpreted means sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came back seeing. This pool was outside the walls of Jerusalem. So from wherever he was, it was a pretty good walk. Of course, none of this makes sense, except for the fact that whatever Jesus says is correct, even if it doesn't make sense to us. The important thing is that we obey the Word of God even when it doesn't make sense to us. If this man doesn't obey, he's not going to be healed. But he is. He is obeying. Verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and those who before had seen that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Blind people usually had a particular place where they sat and begged, and this man had his place, and he evidently was like a city landmark. You know, people recognized him as the blind man who sat and begged. Verse 9. Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. The man tries to put an end to the debate by saying, I'm the one who used to be blind. But he had to keep saying it because evidently many did not believe him. You know, when someone says, This is what I believe, it is very arrogant for someone else to say, No, you don't believe that, you believe this. But that happens sometimes. You know, people want to define what other people believe at times, and that's what's happening here. Verse 10. Therefore they said unto him, How were thine eyes opened? Jesus' miracles often got people talking and asking questions, and it's happening again right here. And this man is given a golden opportunity to witness to the goodness and power of Jesus Christ. Whenever something good happens to us, it is God giving us an opportunity to testify to His goodness. 11. He answered and said, A man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received sight. This is perfect because he stuck to the simple facts. And that is the way to witness for Christ. Some people think they need to be Bible scholars or take a class on how to share your faith before they can witness for Christ. Not true. It's very simple. Just tell people what Jesus did for you. Tell them that He saved you from hell when you received Him as Lord and Savior. Tell them what Jesus did for you. That's what this man did. He told them what Jesus did for him. That's being a witness. 12. Then they said unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. After he witnessed for Christ, others wanted to know where Jesus was. And if you tell others what Jesus did for you, there will be some who will want what you have. There will be some who will be interested in learning more. 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that beforehand was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Notice in verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that beforehand was blind. The people were excited about Jesus, and this miracle was really, making them excited. So they bring the man to the religious leaders. They probably thought the leaders would be excited also. They never thought the rulers would resent this man's healing. Why would anybody respond that way? Verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And here we go again. The religious leaders were still upset that Jesus healed the man who could not walk for 38 years on the Sabbath. Now Christ healed this blind man on the Sabbath. They're really going to be angry now. 15. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. He didn't mention Jesus by name, but I'm sure by this time everyone knew Christ is the one who did the healing. Verse 16, Therefore some of the Pharisees said, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Some concluded that Jesus was not from God. However, their conclusion was wrong, because they used their own made-up standards to judge Christ, not God's standards. Everyone should be open to correction, because none of us are perfect. Just make sure the one correcting can back what they say with Scripture, because if they can't, their correction is absolutely meaningless. Verse 17. They said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. The Pharisees wanted the healed man's opinion of Jesus. He did not know that Christ was God, but he did figure that he was from God, and therefore he concluded that Jesus must have been a prophet. His knowledge of Christ is not complete, but he is learning. And it's good to be patient with those who do not understand Christ but want to learn. Verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? It seems as if the Jews were trying hard to discredit this miracle. They were not willing to believe that this was the man who had been born blind. And so they call for the parents to see what they say. And they hope the parents say, He's not our son. Verse 20. His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. They told the Jews what they knew, which is all that a witness is supposed to do. He's our son. And yes, he was born blind. Verse 21. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Well, no doubt their son told his parents that it was Jesus who healed him. But since they were not there, they did not answer as if they had been. And it's important to measure our words carefully and not to say that we know something is true unless we really, really know something is true. So this was actually the correct way to respond. But there definitely was another motive, no doubt about that. Verse 22. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man confessed that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. The parents were happy to shift the testimony back to their son, because saying that it was Jesus would have gotten them kicked out of the synagogue. An excommunication meant your possessions were taken away, you lost your job, you lost your business, plus you were kicked out of the Jewish religion, which meant hell in their minds. And you know what? I think we're going to stop right here. We'll pick it up in verse 24 next time. Until then, so long everyone.